I want to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. I had asked Austin to lead that song just before the message, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." I guess that's what happens in our hearts when we get into Scripture. God does some change. He continually works in us. That we are changed. That we could be a sanctuary. About 3 weeks ago, it was 3 weeks ago yesterday, I was at work. It was 4:30 in the morning. I got a call from my brother. And this would be 3:30 in Texas, so I knew something was up. My brother said that Mervin just died, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. They tried CPR for at least a half an hour, maybe a little more, and there was nothing. He was gone. He was only 53. We think way too young to die. But his time had come. He was pastor of the church there where I spent a lot of time as a young boy. This affected not only our family, but it also affects the church. We believe he died of a heart attack. 3 years ago tomorrow, I also received a call. We had just moved to San Antonio. And it was Uncle John, and he said, "It's your father-in-law." He said, "They're working on him, but he said it doesn't look good." I gathered the family together. A little later, John called back, and he said he took his last breath. Also a heart attack. This morning, the title of my message is Spiritual Heart Disease. In our physical beings, we experience heart attacks. In our spiritual life, we can also have heart disease. There's a war that's going on inside our being. I think as long as we live, the one side wants peace. The one side wants love. The one side is for Jesus. But then there's the other side of it. There's a continual fight going on here. This other side does not want peace. It would a whole lot rather see division. It would a whole lot rather see brothers and sisters against each other, hating each other. A war that continually goes on. Turn to Proverbs 27, verse 19. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, "As in water face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man." That's kind of hard for us to understand in the King James. But if we look in a pool of water or in a mirror, whose face do we see? Somebody else's? No? I see my own face. The mirror reflects what's there. So the heart of man to man. So the heart reflects the real person who's really inside. Our heart reflects that. What's inside is eventually going to show. Do you ever think about when you look at a person, you look at their eyes, you can quite often see what's happening inside? When there's peace in the heart, it normally reflects in the eyes. We say the eyes are smiling. There is peace coming through the eyes. Let's back up a little bit to Proverbs 16. I'm going to go to verse 19. It says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." So when we think of a man's heart devising or planning our own way, we choose what we want to do. We choose where we want to go. We make the decision. But let's not forget the end of that verse. It says, "But the Lord directeth his steps." God has the final say. We don't. Let's look at an example of this. Jonah, we're not going to turn there. But God had asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to share. Jonah said, "No, I'm going to plan my direction. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go a different route." But God had the last say. God brought Jonah back to where he was willing to share for him. "The condition of my heart." Children, here's one for you, for your papers. "The condition of my heart will determine my course." The condition of my heart will determine my course. Who am I going to live for? Who am I going to serve? Who's going to receive my love and affection? Will it be my Lord and Savior? Or will it be the God of this world? That's something we have to choose. Our heart physically is a very important member of our body. If it doesn't pump, what happens? We die. Spiritually speaking, our innermost being, our heart, is very important. Let's look a little bit at just our physical heart failures that we have. This is stuff that I got off of the internet, and I'm not sure if these numbers are exactly where they should be today or not, but more than 1 million heart attacks happen each year, resulting in about 325,000 adults dying each year. That's 800 to 900 people a day that are dying of heart attacks. The next one, the heart needs a constant supply of oxygen-rich blood for it to be healthy. There's got to be good blood flow. The heart is pumping, but if the blood can't get through, it's not going to receive what it needs. If you're a medical student here this morning, you're probably going to smile at how little I know about hearts. But I do know it needs constant blood supply. Coronary artery disease causes the arteries to become narrow, causing the blood flow to slow down. When the arteries become small, there's a buildup, the blood flow slows down. What does that do for the heart? It's starting to starve the heart. It can't go on. And then when a blood clot is in its mature stage, when it totally closes off, the heart muscles become starved. And there is death. There is a heart attack. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that would desire a heart attack. We would love to just die peacefully, wouldn't we? But unless we care for our physical bodies, we are going to face some health issues. And it's exactly the same thing with our spiritual bodies. Unless we care for our spiritual bodies, we're going to have health issues, spiritually speaking. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Heart disease, in the spiritual sense, is not something new. It's something that happened in the time of Noah. Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. His purposes, his desires were evil." And I don't think it has changed a whole lot today. If left to ourselves, our purposes and our desires are evil continually. Now I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 15. We're doing a lot of paging here this morning. Here we have the account of where the scribes and Pharisees were frustrated because the disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate. But then Jesus says something here to them in verse 18, Matthew 15, verse 18. He says, "But the things which proceed out of the mouth come out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." We're going to stop there. Things that we struggle with day to day. Each one of us faces issues day to day that we struggle with. I would love to think that I'm above this. Yes, I have Jesus as my helper, but Satan continually fights. There's a fight that's going on. There's a war going on. And we need to choose what side that we're going to be on every day. This doesn't mean that we are living in sin, but it takes effort to live above sin. It doesn't come naturally for us to live above sin. It takes effort. It takes work. Then I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs 6. And this is a little more of a lengthy part that we want to read. Proverbs 6, verse 12. Now think about these things as we read through here. These are things that cause spiritual heart disease. Verse 12 says, "A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teaches with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart," or mischief is in his heart. "He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." Things that cause spiritual heart disease. Am I allowing these things to be a part of my everyday walk, my everyday life? He says, unless there is a remedy, there's going to be problems. There's going to be calamity. And we are all victims, possible victims, I guess I should say, of spiritual heart disease. And we need to seek that remedy. If we go on there, verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." A lot of things to think about here. Things that are going to cause my heart to not function properly. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." We back up a couple of verses there in Jeremiah 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabit it." Says he's going to be like the heath in the desert. A man that is trusting in himself, trusting in his own flesh, that has departed from the Lord. What is this heath? It's a juniper bush. It's a little bush that grows in the desert. It's a bush that the goats love to eat. They like to shred it down to about nothing. And when the sun comes out in the desert, it's hot. And it's very unhealthy. There's a good possibility it's going to die. That's what he says the man is like. that doesn't trust in the Lord, that trusteth in himself, that thinks he can do it on his own. We need the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 verse 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." If we stop here, that sounds like a beautiful verse, and it is. We are filled with God. We have received so many blessings. Now we can rest. We've got it made. We can delight in the good land. We can enjoy what he's given us. But let's read on. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." When we are blessed, when we have so much, let's not forget where it came from. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply," this all sounds really good, "and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." These are blessings that God gives us. There's nothing wrong with blessings. He loves us. He loves to bless us. But when we take these blessings and pride starts lifting us up, "Look what I've done," there's already something starts happening in our heart. Can we be cursed by a blessing? Something for us to think about. We are a blessed people. There's nobody here that really has any really, really deep needs if we think about those that are in third world countries. We've got it very nice. We can't complain. But yet we, even with all these blessings from time to time, we become proud. And these blessings can become a curse to us. If we create idols in our everyday walk with what God has blessed us with, then I believe heart disease has set in. Let's look at just a couple more things here about heart disease. Let all bitterness, this is Ephesians 4 verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," or harsh words and evil speaking, "be put away from you with all malice." We're going to go back through that list again. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Things that we need to do without. Things that when they come into our hearts, we need to go back again and refocus and commit those to the Lord. So let's look a little bit at what's the answer then to our heart disease. How can we overcome? How can we be strong? How can our hearts be spiritually fit? I said there's 325,000 per year that die from heart attacks. How many more die spiritually? We don't have a number for that. How many people are spiritually lost every year? They come to the judgment and they're lost. My brother-in-law, we never knew he was sick. We never knew his heart was bad. Nothing showed. From the outside, it all looked really good. He had a job. He enjoyed his family. But Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done good things? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It looked good. We come to church Sunday morning and everything's perfect, isn't it? We go back home, it may be perfect for a short while, but then we face some issues and we see that heart disease coming right back again. I said the heart needs constant oxygen-rich blood, blood that has value. It's like feeding the heart. Without faith, our soul becomes weak. We need to put our all into it. We need to spend time in the Word. We need that constant food. It's not just a matter of spending that 2 or 3 minutes every morning reading the Bible and thinking that's going to cut it. We're okay. But it's digging. It's getting into the Word. It's trying to find the truths that God has for us. If a miner is looking for gold, he's not going to scratch the surface only, but he's going to dig. He's going to look for that vein that has the gold in it. We need a constant supply of spiritual food for us to stay spiritually healthy. And David says in Psalms 86:11, he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." Teach me thy way, O Lord. Psalm 143:8 says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Not myself, but he's trusting in God. "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." When I lift up my soul to God, I'm letting go of what I want. I'm giving it to Him. God, you direct me. It's not about me. I also said that our physical heart may have arteries that are partially plugged. The Spirit cannot flow through a heart that is only partially for Him. Our heart needs to be open completely to Christ. He's not interested in just part of us. He wants all of us. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Here we have one of the churches that John is writing about. Verse 1. And again, this church looked like everything was flowing really good. It looked really like a church that really had it. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience." These are all good things. "And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted." I would love to be a part of a church like that, wouldn't you? That sounds so good. And I'm blessed by our fellowship here, don't get me wrong here. Then he says in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." And here's what I want us to catch. He says, "And repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The church in Ephesus had a love at one time that they lost. They grew accustomed to the good things of life. They had a love for what was happening around them, to where they lost that love that they at once had for Christ. His warning was for them to repent, or they would be removed. That's serious. If we have spiritual heart disease and we don't repent, we will be removed. We need arteries that are open, where the blood is flowing freely. The Word of God is going in, and it's feeding us, and we're growing. Maybe we can take medication spiritually that might keep us looking good. I'm not going to go into that. But I think if we have a regular diet, that's going to keep us healthy. A regular diet of prayer. Spending daily time on our knees with God. We have a regular diet of worship. An adoration for my Father who is my all in all. There is none other. We have a regular diet of reading the Word, spending time feasting on His Word, allowing His Spirit to speak into my heart through the reading of the Word. I had a friend tell me one time, he said, "You know," he said, "I don't read. I don't understand anyhow." Well, we're never going to understand unless we spend time with the Lord, unless our heart is tuned in to Him. We need a regular diet of fellowship with other believers. Not a fellowship that is focused on myself, but a fellowship that is focused on those that I am with, focusing together on Christ. Being open to give and to receive. We need a regular diet of serving others. Realizing that life is not just about me. Life is about Christ. It's about others also. So many times our concern is, am I being fed? Am I being served? Are my needs being met? Where we end up becoming spiritual heart patients. We're not reaching out to others. We're just concerned about ourselves. Proverbs 23, verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Ezekiel 36, 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Jesus is not willing to repair your old heart. He's not going to take your old heart and put a patch on it and hope it works. But it says here, He's going to give us a new heart. A heart that's only for Him. We need hearts that desire intimacy with our Father. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. They shall be my people, and I will be their God." I had to think about marriage. There is an intimacy in marriage. When two people are committed to each other, there's a community. A communion, focusing on each other's needs, blessing each other. It's a fellowship. That's what He says here. "They shall be my people and I will be their God." It's not a one-person thing, but it's two of them working together. When our hearts are healthy and in tune with God, we have a promise. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's a promise for us. Again, in Genesis 15:1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I will take care of you. I will guide you. And I'll be your reward. Then I want to close with about three verses here yet. In Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God." And I guess this is a prayer I'd like for each one of us to think about, to pray, to think about where is our heart. Are we facing spiritual heart disease? Are we healthy? Psalm 139, 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Am I at the place where I'm willing to ask God to search my heart? To see if there's anything in the corners that needs not be there, that He needs to remove, that I need to give up? Then Psalm 51, verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May God bless you this week. May we be thinking about, where are our hearts? Are we facing spiritual heart disease? Or are our hearts healthy where they need to be? Would you please stand with me this morning as we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the word. We thank you, Father, for the cleansing that it brings into our lives, Lord, as we focus on you. As we give ourselves to you, we just want to bless you. I just pray, Lord, for each one of us here this morning, Lord, as we think about our hearts, whether we're spiritually fit, Lord, or whether we're spiritually headed for a heart attack. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to allow you, Lord, to search our hearts, to show us if there's anything in our hearts that needs to be changed. Would you bless us now? We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.